To mask or not to mask? It seems like the existential question since the CDC adjusted its outdoor mask guidance a week ago Tuesday, and then Governor Baker followed suit for last Friday. The town of Brookline most recently publicly played the role of Hamlet, deciding yesterday afternoon to lift its outdoor mask mandate after initially saying they'd keep it in place and after nationwide attention to their community debate. But it's not just Brookline. As policies change, as the science changes, and the gap grows between who feels safe and who doesn't, and which public signals we think we're supposed to send to each other, we are all trying to figure out how to be on the same page. And it appears that we are not. So let's talk about it. Pull up a chair to our virtual kitchen table and tell us what you think. What is safe with masks, with behaviors around those who are vaccinated, with reopening? What does it mean to you to follow the science? Do you think you are? Do you feel like others aren't? Join the conversation. 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got two guests to chat with us. The first is Lenny Marcus, founding co-director of the National Preparedness Leadership Initiative, which is a joint program of the Harvard Chan School of Public Health and the Kennedy School of Government. We also have Boston Globe columnist Beth Tytel, who has been analyzing our relationship with masks throughout the pandemic. Lenny Marcus, welcome.
Hello, Tiziana. Nice to be back with you.
Great to have you back. And Beth Tytel, great to have you back, too.
Glad to be back. Thank you.
So, Beth, I'll start with you. It happened so fast. You know, the change in outdoor mask mandates, it erupted into a fight like overnight. Are you surprised by that?
You're right. It was so fast. I guess it's not surprising. We've been fighting about masks the whole time. And I guess the only thing that changes is what the fight is. So, now, it's an interesting time because even though the governor, as you said, has loosened the outdoor mask mandate, when you walk around, everybody still has masks on. You can actually feel like you're doing the wrong thing. So many people are actually wearing masks, even though they don't think they need to, just because they don't want to look like they're a jerk. Basically, you have to wait till everybody accepts or understands the new mandate to stop wearing a mask, unless you want to look like a lot of people feel that fear that they'll look like a Trump supporter. So it's a super interesting time.
Yeah, so not only is it about sort of practices and guidance, but also appearances and what we think other people are. There's a lot of subtext to that, Beth.
Yes. I mean, I interviewed somebody who told me, a public health expert who was saying that, and a human behavior expert who was saying that a norm got established, which was wearing a mask. And now the science has changed outside, but the norm hasn't kept up with the new rule. So the norm is sticky, he said. So everybody's sort of clinging to the old norm, even though the rules have changed.
I'm going to hang on to that framing. We'll probably come back to that rules versus norms, because that feels like a helpful way to think about this. Lenny Marcus, I want to turn to you. What do you think is at the heart of this fight? And if fight's not the right word, then struggle or tension or confusion, you know, feel free to pick your word of the day.
Well, Tiziana, it's very ambiguous. And when we think about masks, it's important to be looking at three variables. The first is viral load. How much of the virus does it take to transmit the disease? The second is air distribution. And if the air is moving around, you can't get that viral load. And the third thing is filtering. And if you're wearing a mask or if someone around you is wearing a mask, you get that filtering. So it's those three elements that are critical in the decisions and the practices of masks. And I think that's where some of the ambiguity comes up in this very, very complex question.
And are you surprised by this struggle with the ambiguity?
No, because we got into COVID very, very quickly. Remember back in March 2020, all of a sudden we were all at home. So it happened very, very quickly. Getting out of COVID is happening in a very different way. It's slowly. It's not clear exactly what we should do, the norms and the rules. I think that's a good distinction. And so we can expect that there's going to be this kind of ambivalence and ambiguity as we move out of this, because it's been a very scary time and it's not clear how to move away from some of the restrictions that we've just become used to.
All right. So not surprisingly, the phones are just lighting up. So I'm going to turn to the calls here. 800-423-8255. Just pull up a chair to our table. Talk with us about this. How are you reacting to it? What's on your mind? Are you confused about the science? Do you disagree or agree with your community's practices? It's on the table. We've got David on the phone in Lexington. David, share your thoughts with us.
Hi, Tiziana. I was fully vaxxed almost a month ago, and I certainly haven't been wearing it outside since then. But I really, you know, most of my time out that I've been outside is running with my dog in a woodland where there aren't a lot of people, and I never wore it there. I mean, there's an infinitude of air, and you're zooming by people, and it's just seemed ridiculous. And the one time I did wear a mask outside was when last summer I went to Harvard Square just to see what it was like without any cars, and there were a lot of people, and so I wore the mask. But otherwise outside, I just haven't.
So appreciate that call, David. And I'm going to turn to another call here, but it makes me think of a piece by Shira Durone, who's one of the infectious disease doctors that often does Ask the Doctors for us in the Boston Globe today, where she talked about choices now being much more based on personal risk tolerance. Let's pick up one more call. We've got Jeffrey on the line in Brighton. Jeffrey, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. The issue that we're having right now and the reason why we're having this conversation right now was because the United States has developed as we were. We didn't have the best administration prior to this, and it's sad that a year into something that has caused 500,000 people to die, that we're still questioning whether or not we want to save our lives. This is bad. This is not okay. I don't think it's fine that we are having this conversation still right now. I'm not trying to judge anybody or anything like that, but you would think that, you know, a little more sense of actually seeing death would just tell you know what, is this fake or not, man? Let me just save myself from whatever it is that's occurring. We're just throwing caution to the wind and going to, oh, is this person right or was that person right? If we had the right people speaking on the onset from the prior administration, right now third world countries wouldn't do better than us right now. And that's all I want to say. Thank you for the time.
Jeffrey, thanks for the call. So Lenny Marcus, I'm going to turn to you on that one because you look at leadership, right? National Preparedness
right.
Leadership Initiative. Jeffrey's
right.
Talking about leadership there.
So there certainly has been two very different styles of leadership in the prior administration and in the current administration, very different approaches to following the science. Without getting into partisan politics, I think this current administration is doing its best to inform people about what the science is, to base those decisions on the science, and then to explain why those decisions are being made. I think that kind of explanation has been very helpful to people as they make personal decisions, as David just said, about whether to wear the mask when he's out running or whether to wear the mask if he's in an outdoor area where there are a lot of other people in close proximity to one another. And I think the distinction that David made about two different ways of being outside is an important one for all of us to remember.
So I'm going to grab another call here, 800-423-8255. Jean's on the line in Wellesley. Jean, go ahead.
Hi, thanks a lot. I don't find the science to be that complicated. I'm as far as wearing a mask outdoors, I'm aware that it's okay now, but a lot of stores are not, and so I'll respect them, the outdoor stores like the garden nurseries. But what I am concerned about is eventually they're going to be opening up restaurants and letting us, telling people they can go in. And I probably will never go into a restaurant again unless they require people to have vaccination cards. Now, I'm vaccinated, but I'm aware that there are variants. I'm aware that it's not 100%. And I haven't heard anything about that yet, about the requiring of carrying cards.
So I appreciate that, Jean. There is some discussion at the state level on this. The governor has said that a vaccine mandate, which would require some kind of card probably, is not in his purview. There are members of the state, or is not his approach. There are members of the state legislature that have asked for clarification on that, assuming that is potentially coming. President Biden has said he is not going to do that. I want to come back on all of this to you, Beth, because you brought up rules versus norms. And then Lenny, in engaging with the callers, added science. And we have a messy intersection between those three things, especially when a person's sense of personal safety, hey, what I'm willing to do is not necessarily consistent with what the science says it's safe to do.
Yes, I think that's actually, that's a great point. Right, because right now the restaurants are open, but of course some people feel comfortable going in and some don't. Also, some people don't necessarily trust the CDC, because I'm sure we'll all remember in the beginning we were told not to wear masks. So a lot of people say, well, now they're saying it's okay again not to wear them, but how can we trust that? And I think that just getting back to some confusion that people feel, you know, the mandate says, well, if you can, it's okay to go for a run by yourself or with members of your family or a walk. But the thing is, as long as you can socially distance. But I think then you think, well, how far do I need to be from somebody? Like if you're running, let's say along the Charles, you generally might not be that close to someone, but you might pass like within 2 or 3 feet, which I think I've heard is fine. You're not going to get it from someone just passing by. But a lot of people think, no, that's not okay. So I think it's very difficult. Like you're in a situation where if you have a mask and you're constantly putting it on and off. I think that's sort of what's leading to the confusion, is that there's so many gradations of what's okay or what people consider okay.
Let's go back to the phones here, 800-423-8255 to join this conversation. We've got Sebu on the line in Sudbury. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Sebu. Thank you for pronouncing my name correctly. I think that was a great point that was made about the trust in the CDC, because that message had changed from the onset. But really, I think that while there is so much science guiding coming down from, let's say, federal administration, I think that having some cohesion on even the state and local level would really help, you know, in the case of Brookline's example, for folks. But I think that, and I'll end here, is that, you know, there is not enough science to really put a distance on how we should interact. And I think that outdoor spaces should remain really free. You know, I don't want to see us get into a society where the vaccination card gives you that, let's call it credibility. I am personally not comfortable with vaccinating yet. I'm almost 40. And thank you for the time.
Thank you for the call. Lenny, there's a lot there. So pick up on the thread that resonates with you the most.
Well, you know, Jean raised the concern about going into a restaurant with people who are not vaccinated. A team of us at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health worked on aviation public health and looked at how safe it is to be on an airplane, to walk through an airport. And 2 weeks ago, I testified to a Senate subcommittee on aviation, and I recommended that we do have some sort of a certified way of demonstrating that we're vaccinated. And if someone decides they don't want to get vaccinated, that they're able to show that they have a negative COVID test. And one of our colleagues at the School of Public Health, Michael Minna, has been advocating a low-cost, highly reliable, efficient testing that can be done in the moment very, very quickly, so that before you get into the airport, even before you get to security, before you get to boarding, you show either a negative COVID test if you don't want to get vaccinated, or you show that you've been vaccinated. So imagine that scenario where you're going through the airport, you're on the plane, and you know that the chance of someone with COVID in the environment is very, very low. I think if we combine some sort of certification for vaccination with low-cost tests for COVID, we could evolve to the point where there are very, very few people circulating in the population who are transmitting the disease. That's something that's within our reach in this country, and something from a policy perspective that I'm advocating.
So, Beth, in listening to Lenny there, I'm thinking, so that's a plan to get to an end. And it's more of a focus on means that get us to an end, which is minimal circulation of the virus so that people are safe and so that we don't have the spread of variants. It made me wonder, are we overly focused on pushing people about the means versus creating, and this is a legitimate question, versus creating a suite of options that our rules and our norms can guide around and that are rooted in science, but where the focus becomes the ends and less judgment with each other about which means we use to get there?
You know, that's so well put. It probably is the only way we're going to get out of it, to say, however, right, if you don't feel comfortable, you don't want to get vaccinated, you can't because of a medical reason, that's fine, but here's what you can do then to be able to participate in things in society that you want to. So as you said, you you make the goal what the activity the person can do, and whoever they're going to get there, that's actually fine. I think so many people though are so traumatized that it takes a while for that to end. Like, you can't just turn it off right away. So I think the more things that can happen to make people feel comfortable in open spaces or in closed spaces, the better off we'll all be.
Let's go back to the phones, 800-423-8255, to join the conversation. Let's go to Susan in Andover. Susan, what's on your mind?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought they were going to play the initial recording. I have had lifelong allergies, and there were lots of times in life when I really should have been wearing a mask, didn't, and needless to say, recent years, compliance has been enforced. I'm concerned that for people like myself, or anyone for that matter, who chooses to continue to wear a mask, that they not have to worry about being bullied or, you know, subject to nasty comments. And I guess, you know, I feel that way because even though currently our political climate is once again feeling comfortable, it's hard to, certainly for someone my age, which is, we'll just say it's a year that kind of blows.
We'll skip that part for you. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. But it's a big one. And just in the past few presidential elections, the incredible political the climate and what made climate allowable and all of that has kind of turned on a dime, you know?
Yep. Susan, I'm going to take it back from you there. Thank you. Because there's a couple of pieces we can pick up in what you had to say. And I want to do them one at a time. So the first is I wear a mask because it's safe for me. I should have been wearing one before. Now our culture authorizes me to. I don't want us to go back to a point where it doesn't authorize me to anymore. Why are we worried about shaming and bullying, Lenny? And why is that in the mix? And maybe you'll say it's because of the second part of Susan's call, which was about the political climate.
Well, you know, we're working with state health officials from around the country. So Alaska, Illinois, Texas. And what we are hearing is that we have different mini cultures in each of these states. So the attitudes that we have here in Massachusetts about masking are very, very different than what you see in Alaska and Texas, for example, and of course what we know in Florida. So to go to Susan's question, it's highly likely that we're going to see people wearing masks here in Massachusetts for some time, if not forever, during flu season, during allergy season, and it will be acceptable. And, you know, to pick up on what Jeffrey said earlier, there's different political currents in each of the states across the country, and those political currents could very well translate into tolerance and acceptance for the fact that people at various times are going to want to continue wearing masks.
So I am thinking again, Beth, about Jeffrey's call. He was our second caller, expressing what I took as some real frustration that people aren't willing to take steps to keep other people safe. And then I think about all the articles I read in preparation for today that said, why should I do something that seems like it's going to keep people safe, except we know it's not necessary to keep people safe. And that feels like the rock and the hard place that we're in our norms right now. And I wonder, in talking to people about this and thinking about this, what is our path to shared commitment to keep ourselves and each other safe, and therefore not judging people who are not making extra signals to do that if it's not necessary in order to keep someone else or ourselves safe? Was that too complicated, or is my question clear? I was kind of thinking as I went there.
Yeah, no, I think it's very clear. I think you've raised the very interesting question of doing something even though you know what you want to do isn't harmful, but doing something else so that the other people around you feel safe. I mean, I'm sure we've all had times where you're driving and then someone's crossing the street and you really want to let them know, I'm not in any hurry. So just take as long as you want. So I will even just wait until like they're really on the sidewalk, way past my car, just so they don't have that second of feeling like, oh, I need to hurry. And I think that same thing is sort of true with a mask. In other words, okay, I know I don't need to wear a mask because I'm 10 feet from you, but I'll do it to make you feel comfortable. But then the problem is a lot of people, the masks are super annoying to wear. So that's sort of where it gets in. It's like my mask stops at your nose or something along those lines. I guess ideally the virus will be so low, the numbers circulating will be so low that people will start to feel more comfortable, even the people who are like a little bit extra nervous if others don't have a mask on, you know, and that are close to them.
All right, let's get one last call in here quickly. Danny in Norwood, go ahead, quickly.
Yeah, so really quickly, you know, I've heard people say they're nervous about getting the vaccine. I've heard that woman say that she's afraid to actually enter the restaurant unless everyone is vaccinated. And so for me, if we go to that woman's route, it's really prioritizing her fears over other people who maybe are afraid or a little bit hesitant to get the vaccine. It's prioritizing one group's fears over another's, and that's kind of my problem with this debate and when people say everyone needs to be vaccinated.
So prioritizing those who are afraid of the illness versus those who are afraid of the vaccine, is that what you're saying, Danny?
That's right.
Thanks. So last thought on that before we close, Lenny Marcus.
You know, a number of years ago, we studied Boston right after the Boston Marathon bombings. And it was remarkable how this community came together, how the leaders of the different agencies came together. And we identified what we call swarm leadership, this notion that we're all in it together. Remember how people in Watertown helped out during that day when there were the house-to-house searches, that we were all there for one another. We call that the swarm. And I'm hoping, and I think it's certainly possible here in Massachusetts, that we'll bring that same kind of swarm mentality and swarm spirit to getting beyond the disease, at least for those of us living here in Massachusetts.
All right, we will leave it there. Lenny Marcus, founding co-director of the National Preparedness Leadership Initiative, which is a joint program of the Harvard Chan School of Public Health and the Kennedy School of Government, and the Boston Globe columnist, Beth Tytel. Lenny, Beth, thanks to both of you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.